We are beyond excited to share the Chronicles of Panel Pete, a brand new comic coming in early 2026, written by Talking Comics podcast host AJ Ryman and co-written and illustrated by Mike Elger, Torque Arts Comics. Panel Pete is a heartfelt comic about courage, imagination, and the hero within. Sure, he may stir up a little mischief, but at the end of the day, he's the hero we all need. Expect variant covers, exclusive merch, and much more. Follow the links in our bio, hit that Notify Me on launch on Kickstarter, and join us on this adventure. Hey, comic creators, artists, writers, world builders, this is your call to action. Here at Talking Comics, we love diving into the stories behind the story. Whether you're just starting out or you've been in the game for years, we want to hear your journey, your creative process, and what fuels your imagination. So, ready to talk comics with us? Message us or hit the link in our bio and be a guest on Talking Comics.
Welcome to Talking Comics. I appreciate you being here.
Thanks for having
me. We have David. Yeah, man. We have David Whalen here. Tell us about yourself.
I'm a comic book indie creator, a teacher in upstate New York, a wife and two kids. The kids are almost full-grown adults now, so looking forward to getting ready for the empty nest life, which my wife is not ready for.
Nope. No.
Yeah, I'm teetering. Like, I understand the pros and the cons, and the kids are great. So if they want to live in the house for 20 more years, great, no problem. They don't want to.
Yeah, they don't want to.
They want to spread the wings.
I have a 24-year-old and a 10-year-old, both girls. So they're, one's out, one's still home.
Yeah, like, big separation.
It is a big separation. We'll see. I'm the same way. Like, I wish they could stay with me forever. So,
we're growing years apart. So we did it all fast, and then it always happens fast. It always gets to the next
right
pretty quick.
Are they going to go off to college?
Yeah, my son is a sophomore in college up here in upstate.
Awesome.
New York, and my daughter's a senior in high school. So she's making her plans for the next 6 months or so.
Heck yeah. That's awesome. So tell us about the comics. You write a bunch of them. Like, I only got to read one or two of them, but
yeah. I have my flagship title, The Offspring, which I just published issue 34. And I am in the process of writing and thumbnailing out issues 35, 36, and 37, which is my next three-parter that is going to be actually the end of, believe it or not, the end of season three that I'm doing, where I'm going to collect it in volume 9 trade and also be able to have a third omnibus collecting that third season. There's going to be 4 seasons altogether, 50 issues altogether. So I'm kind of gearing down. Somebody, 7.5 years ago when I started this, and they said, what's your plan? I said, well, my plan is 50 issues. They looked at me and said, that's ridiculous. That's crazy. You're never going to make it. You're never going to do it. We'll start with like one issue of something and move from there. And now 7 years into it with, 34 issues published, 50 issues is a very seeable goal.
Right. For sure.
It's one of those things that 7 years ago, you probably could have talked me out of it. But now nothing's going to ever talk me out of it. We're going to do it. We're going to get it done. Well, so.
Yeah, not when you're 34 issues in. Yeah. You can't stop now.
Heck yeah.
That's insane. So 7 years, you've done 34 issues.
Yeah.
That's a lot. And you do all of it yourself.
I do. I have been pretty lucky to have a couple people here jump in here and there with me for people will contact me. A great guy, Chris McCauley, who works with Bram Stoker, the son of Bram Stoker, Dracula. And they have a whole series of Dracula books. He called me up one day, messaged me through whatever, and said, hey, I really like what you're doing. What do you need? And I said, my question was, what do you mean? What do I need? Like, well, I appreciate you reaching out because he has some really cool stuff going. And I said, well, I would love somebody to color the next three books to be able to, kind of help me keep the momentum going. And he said, you got it. Send me the pages. And it was worked out perfectly because the next three books was the first time travel story that I had. So having it look a little bit different than what I was doing before worked out perfectly for the story. And then it went back to my colors and things like that. So it really worked out. But I'm lucky enough to have a couple people, want to jump on board And at least for a little bit, to be able to help the process along, and also some writers here and there that want to do some stuff, and I want to do some stuff with them. So whether it's the Offspring or my 24 issue one shot series, or any of the multiple other books that I have out, I'm pretty much a one man band. But I am really lucky. Feel really lucky there that people want to kind of jump on board with me from time to time.
So, all right, you're 34 issues into one, which is going to be 50, but like how many in the one shot? Because you sent me two of the one shots.
Yeah, I have 5 one shots, 24 page one shots out. I have 2 100 plus page graphic novels and a 1 4 issue miniseries.
Okay, cool. That's a lot.
It's a lot.
The two you sent me were not colored on the inside. Why was that? Like, is there any particular reason? Or?
Yeah, I think for the one shots, I kind of use the 24-page one shot as kind of like a bridge for people to be able to see what I do and how I do it, the way I write, the way I draw, because I do know that as an independent creator, 50 issues is a lot for some people to like jump aboard
Jump
on.
in on.
Because most people, wouldn't get to 50 issues. Most people in my situation wouldn't get to 50 issues. Not everybody is like, the Ninja Turtles, where it's been 20 years and it's this huge, they usually go 3 or 4 issues and they're done for whatever reason, money or time or whatever it is. So I really do use that as my 24 page one shots and my 100 plus page graphic novels. It's kind of like an in for people to be able to buy and say, yeah, I like what this guy's doing. Let me give a 50 issue maxi series a shot. And I really have been lucky that usually, there's always different opinions out there, but usually if somebody reads one of my one shots or picks up the 100 plus page graphic novel, they'll pick up a few volumes of The Offspring and take that ride with me also. So it's great.
That's awesome. Do you pr all in print as well?
I do print and digital. Yeah, I sell most of my books through Amazon, but I'm also on Global Comics. I'm also on Lulu. Lulu.com, which is a smaller digital distribution store. But really, Amazon is where I sell most of my books. And some people, I get how they're kind of like, oh, Amazon's the bad guy kind of thing. But as an independent creator, it's really worked out for me. They're pretty cheap to print and it's nothing to publish with them. So to be able to go through that process and have your books out and know that it's all set up and ready to go. And I can, buy a couple books pretty cheap to be able to have purchase of physical copies to be able to sell at cons here and there, to where I'm not in a position to print out 1,000 copies of each issue, and then 500 copies of the volume, the volumes that are collecting all these issues. That's just not a viable option for me right now because it's
Yeah,
so much, right?
that would be especially if you did color, which Amazon, when you do their KDP and you do black and white, it's really
Yeah.
economical
Yeah,
for sure.
it's pretty cheap. It really works out for me. Now, and again, people might say you're really stupid for doing this much content and you can't buy print copies of it. But my whole goal was to get the story out. So the content was
Right.
always the most important to me, getting the story out. So now with 34 issues in the can, now it's where I'm thinking, well, what can I do to plus up? What can I do to get more books out there, to get more physical copies out there in comic book shops and in conventions and things like that. So I'm lucky I'm not too elder to get that process going also.
Right. So the Amazon experience, what size are you using for that on there?
So it's the is it the 7.10 by I can't remember exactly the size. It's the comic book size that they have.
Okay.
And it
Cool.
yeah, it works out really well. They do a good job with the bleeds, they do a good job with the colors.
Because they're saddle stitching now too, right?
Yeah, I haven't.
It, or
So
do you perfect bind?
yeah, I perfect bought. So
Okay.
when it's a collection of the books, it'll be just the square normal binding. And it, like I said, it works out pretty good. Usually, the books come out pretty nice. There has been a couple times where they're flopping through it sometimes, and you get a book that's a little crooked. You call them up, you show them a picture, they redo it. It's okay.
Yeah, I've dealt with them for years with publishing books, like novels. So,
Yeah.
not comics. I'm actually going to have my comic printed at a shop in Michigan. A friend of mine owns it. It's going to be, you know, private. It's, well, for full color, it's not worth doing Amazon at the moment.
Yeah.
I don't think their full color price is still kind of high. Have you done a hardcover through them yet?
Have not.
I haven't either. And I've been looking for people to see how they've turned out.
I have a friend who does hardcover like by herself. And my plan is when I get all four omnibuses done for the 50 issues, and I'm going to get, you know, copies of them to be able to give to my family, to be able to, you know, remember me when I pass, all that, you know, morose stuff. But I have a friend of mine who does really fancy like hardcover, you know, designs and things like that. So clearly that's not going to be something that I do on a big basis. But to be able to start thinking in that process of once those four omnibuses are done, a hardcover version probably isn't a bad idea to be able to sell those through Amazon, through, you know, some of the other digital platforms. So that's something, again, that's kind of in the works and in the process of going. Again, it's always just get that quick and quality content out.
That's right. Have you done any color through there, or are you just doing your black and white ones through there?
No, I've done The Offspring is all color.
Okay.
Yeah, and my 4-issue miniseries, Evolution Utero, is all color also.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Very cool. Sorry, I haven't talked to anybody that's done a lot of Amazon in a long time, so that was interesting to hear that. What was your inspiration to start all this? How'd you get started in this? Just seven years ago.
It was actually more than 7 years ago. I just turned 50 this year, so it was 37 years ago.
Okay.
I was like so many people that, you know, love comics. I grew up reading comics and getting in trouble for bringing them into the classroom and all that stuff, and left them all over the house and got yelled at for it. And I just always knew that I loved comics. I loved drawing. So as I grew up, kind of knowing, I want to make comic books. Went to college, worked as a graphic designer, started my teaching career, but never really felt like I was ready to be able to tell like quality stories through my art. I just never felt quite ready. So about, I'd say 10 years, maybe 12 years ago now, I started really feeling like, you know, I was ready to be able to do it physically, mentally, emotionally, you know, to be able to do it. So I reached out to a few really small press companies and said, hey, you know, if you need a, you know, 20 pages here, 5 pages here, whatever it is, covers, whatever it was. So I, for a couple different companies, worked on some stuff for them for a couple years. And as I was doing that and looking back at the artwork that I was producing for this other company, I got pretty confident that I could do it on my own. So I said about 8 years ago, said, I think it's time to get these characters that I've had since I was 16 or 17 years old. I think it's time to put them on paper. So I started putting out, I started getting together the pages and inking them and you know, figuring out, you know, the ins and outs of how it was going to change after, you know, 30 years of having the characters. But I wanted to make sure the story made sense and updated and all that kind of stuff, as I've done through the last 30 years. So once I got that first issue done, it was just a snowball from there. Now, when I got that first issue in my hand, I said, I can do this. I can do a whole series with this. And here we are 34 issues later, still going strong and super proud of the book, the way it's coming out. It's so much work, but also so much better than I ever could have hoped it could be turned the way it turned out. So I'm really lucky that I am in a position to be able to create the thing.
How quick are you producing one book?
It takes me about 2 months, give or take. I can do a full book, full color, all that stuff from thumbnails to publishing on Amazon, about 2 months, sometimes a little longer, sometimes a little shorter. I will say that over the summer, I put two books out fairly quickly, to the point where the second book I put out, I had to stop to make sure I wasn't sacrificing quickness for quality. I'm like, this is
right.
Like, it's been less than a month and I put out my last book. Am I going too fast? And I stopped and looked at everything and like really went over with a fine tooth comb. Like, this is the best book I ever put out. Let's keep going. And it
right.
And it turned out really good. It was great. It just I have my style. I had down. I have my process down. It just went really quickly, which I'm lucky for.
Yeah, that's amazing
Yeah.
to do that, to all that in, 2 months. It took me 2 months to write my script.
Yeah.
What advice would you give people that start in this?
Yeah, I would say just do it. Like, there's a re there's a million reasons not to do it. And I think this is advice that most people in my situation give. Know that it's gonna be taught. It's gonna be hard. There's gonna be times you chuck it all in the garbage. But if you keep moving forward, it'll be worth it because you'll have a thing that you made. I wouldn't start with a 50-issue maxi series.
No. I started with a one shot,
Yeah,
so
do one shot. Even do like five pages and maybe try to find an anthology to jump onto. But yeah, do a 24-page, 23, 24-page
good
one shot
advice.
of characters that you love and no, not your main book that you want the world to take the storm world by storm with. But just do it. Don't worry about every panel being the most amazing Mona Lisa type artwork that's ever happened in the history of artwork. Just get it down on paper and adjust it as you go and know that, nothing's ever perfect, but it'll be yours and you created it.
Yeah, that's been the coolest part about it is just I hired an artist to do mine, Mike Algier out of Dork Art Studios, and he's up in Connecticut, but he's doing all the artwork and it's amazing what getting pages back. He may have just sent me a page. He messaged me. Did he send me a page? Nope. We're just over halfway done with mine, which is awesome. So, or ours at this point. It ain't mine anymore.
Yeah.
That's what's awesome. Do you do conventions?
I do. There are three conventions in upstate New York here that I do, and love them. And they're pretty. They're not like New York City Comic Con size
Right.
conventions. They're pretty small. But like I said, with my becoming empty nesters here, probably fairly quickly in the next year. My hope is to start making little mini vacations with me and my wife, go moving into Pennsylvania, moving to Ohio, moving into Michigan, moving down to Jersey,
Yeah.
for some of those conventions in there, to be able to continue, getting the word out on my book. And I've got the process of selling at conventions down. I usually do pretty good at conventions. So just to be able to continue to reach out to other states is going to be super fun.
Yeah, I can't wait to start. We're starting right now. The earliest one is April. We're going to do a local one here in North Carolina, and then we're going to Michigan at the in Memorial Day for in Traverse City, Michigan. There's a convention, and then I'm going to Terrificon in August next year. That's where Mike, my artist, lives. He lives close to there, so we're going to go there, and I'm going to do a booth with him. So that's going to be amazing.
That's awesome. I have some friends in Michigan that are creators, so I'll have to let you know who they are. So if you see them there, you can
Yeah.
chat.
Are they going to Motor City this weekend?
Probably, I would bet that they usually do the circuit there. So I bet they
Yeah, I
will.
would love to go, but I can't pull off going to Michigan this weekend. Yeah, but we'll go to the one in Traverse City in Memorial Day. But yeah, I love traveling and driving, so I have family all over, and I still have friends in upstate New York. So which one, where are they at in upstate? Like Syracuse and
So most of them are, one of them is north of Watertown, was one is
okay.
in Utica, and
Utica, all right.
Syracuse is the other one. Yeah, so it's kind of spread out in this little area here,
Right.
but really just because anywhere a mile from me is, you have to go a mile to be able to get to anything. So.
Right. So yeah, I'll check those out. We have to do so. I'll have to go to upstate New York and do one. I love conventions.
They're fun.
So what go into your artwork. Like, how did you know, what's your process like, or your script? How do you start when you create a comic? How do you start? You start with art, writing? What's your
Yeah,
process?
oftentimes it'll start with the visual. So I'll have an idea of what I want to do for whatever book it is, whether it's The Offspring or one of the 24-page one shots. I'll have visuals in my brain just because I'm a visual person. And then I'll start to wrap around what's the theme? What's the story I'm trying to tell with this part of the story, and a lot of times for The Offspring, it's about family. It's about trauma and how you deal with that trauma. How, you know, kids are kind of thrown into the mix sometimes in a negative way, sometimes in a positive way. But for the most part, I use monsters and paranormal and time travel as like analogies for how people deal with trauma in their life. So what I try to do is make sure I hone in on the theme of what it is we're trying to talk about. So in this next three-parter I've got going, issue 35, 36, and 37, the characters are all thrust into this parallel universe that the bad guy has created to be able to use adults, to be able to do things that adults usually don't have time to do. So the whole premise is, you know, I've created this parallel universe now where the adults have to play with the kids. They have to fly the kites. They have to do the, you know, ride the bikes. They have to take them to the beach. They have to do, like, it's this whole zombie feel of the parents walking around. Let's go fly a kite. Let's go. So, and the kids are loving it at first. And then they start to realize that without the, you know, brain behind their parents, that they're in big time trouble. So it's that idea of that theme of, while oftentimes the kids want that freedom, they don't really know what to do with it when they get it, and oftentimes goes bad. So you need that common sense, hopefully, fingers crossed, of the adults to be able to know how to kind of rein it in and use that, I think. So I always try to make sure I'm really honing in on the theme of what I'm trying to write. From there, I'll kind of bullet point out what I need to do. I wouldn't say I've written a whole script in a while, especially for The Offspring, but I'll bullet out. I need these beats. Dun da 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 da. I need to make sure this is where I hit this character arc. This is where I hit this, you know, visual. But for the most part, I'll go with just those bullet points, and then I'll start thumbnailing the 24 pages. So once I get about 7 or 8 pages into the thumbnails, I'll start drawing the real version. And do some of those, and then go back to the thumbnails, and then go back to the drawing. So it's kind of like a teeter-totter process for me, just because I know if I try to do one thing all at once, I'm going to get bored and stop. So I need to like keep kind of moving backwards and back and forth to make sure that I know that I'm moving forward with the actual, you know, guts of the book. And so it's a bit of a, I bet anybody looking at it would say it's a bit of a chaotic process, but it works for me. And it has allowed me to get out a whole bunch of books. So it really has been trying to learn what works best for me. And that process does.
Yeah, I mean, it's worked for 60 plus books. So yeah. It has to do something good, right?
Yeah.
What grade do you teach?
I am in middle school. So middle school, high school. So 5th through 9th grade for the most part. I actually just changed schools. I taught elementary school for about 14 years.
Wow.
And decided that there was a bit of a change. I was down the road at one of the schools. My wife and my kids went to the school that I'm teaching at now, and they had an opening. So I said, yeah, let's go. And I knew the school. I know all the teachers. I know, you know, a lot of the kids before I even got there. So I said, yeah, let's make this move. And it was a probably one of the best decisions I've ever made. The kids are great for the most part. The kids are great. And the administration's great. The school is great. My wife works there. My kids went there. So
well, that's
so
awesome.
Yeah, it's been really fun. And middle school is a different animal because while there's a certain amount of energy, usually positive, that comes with it, but there's things that they come up with because their brains are always going that are usually pretty hilarious. Sometimes like, oh, let's not do that right now.
Middle school for my oldest was the toughest 3 years of her life, you know, and I'm dreading my youngest is in 5th grade. So she's really getting ready to go into middle school next year. So I'm dreading that.
Yeah. It's tough years, but also fun.
Yeah. Hopefully we'll get through it. You know, it'll be a little easier. Then once my oldest got to high school, it was like smooth sailing. She loved high school, so that was good.
High school's always good because they want that freedom, but they also want to come in and cuddle with you in bed. You know what I mean? Like on the couch and watch movies. So it's really weird. It's a weird dynamic because you want to give them freedom, but you also want to keep them with you.
Exactly. You can't. So how do you market your books? Do you do Kickstarter or do you just, I mean, anything?
I haven't done a Kickstarter yet. Like I said, the my main goal was always the content first.
For yourself, so, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so I will do, I'll market it through all the social medias. Mm-hmm. So you can find links to all my book and my website, correcthandedcomics.com. But I will say that I've got some buddies. I'm a part of an artist comic book creator group called The Cosmos. And we've been doing our thing for about a year with a YouTube show and doing a bunch of other stuff.
Really cool.
Fun stuff. Yeah, it's been really fun. And they have been kind of bugging me to do a Kickstarter. And I said, you know, I agree at this point, I'm kind of stupid for not doing it. It's because I have all this content. And if
right.
I start off slow with like $5,000, you know, something like that ish, between 250 and $2,500 and $5,000, that's a doable goal. To be able to kind of help with some more of the marketing and promotion of the book. So I would say, while I haven't done a Kickstarter yet, I'd say by next year, January, February, I'll probably start to dip my toe into the Kickstarter realm, just because more eyes on the book is always better than less eyes.
Right.
And Kickstarter is a great way to be able to get eyes on your book.
Yeah, I'm going to do a Kickstarter with mine, but I'm going to do a very like $500 goal.
Yeah, just start small.
Because I'm doing it regardless, like if it funds or not. Like I've already got, you know, we're almost done with the artwork. Yeah, I got to do the title page and stuff. But I mean, I've already got printers lined up. I mean, and I'm not even going to launch my Kickstarter until I have that finished product in my hand.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't want to, you know, something to happen, whatever, you know, reason it not happen. So I'd rather wait till I have the actual copy. But yeah, I mean, I'm going to try it. Just like you said, more eyes, the better, right?
Yeah,
it's worth trying.
Yeah.
So tell me about the Cosmos. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I'm really lucky too, because I don't think I'm actually going to do my first Kickstarter with The Offspring. I have a couple 100 plus page graphic novels. I think I'm going to use my second graphic novel as my first Kickstarter, Late in Lightspeed, which is like a sci-fi, you know, lasers and spaceships and aliens and fun stuff. And you kind of use The Offspring as like little like goals, you know what I mean? Like
yeah.
It will be able to like digital versions or you know, little cardboard trades of those things. So I'm in a really good position to be able to start with something that's not the flagship title. So I think if I would have tried to do it earlier, it might not have worked. But now with so much content under my belt, it's kind of really easy to be able to have those little giveaways and digitals and all that kind of stuff. So
and it's already done.
Yeah.
So that makes it even better.
Yeah, it's all done.
Yeah, so, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Very cool. So tell me about this collective, this Cosmos group.
Yeah, the Cosmos a comic book collective is just a group of guys that we got together and said, you know, we all do the same thing. Instead of just like going to Facebook and going on all the comic book pages and just scrolling through, posting something and just scrolling through and ignoring everything, let's work together as a team to be able to, every time we post something, we like and share all of our other posts. Usually, sometimes that's a little tricky because it's all the social medias are everywhere. So it's kind
right.
of hard. You know, social media is a full-time job.
God, yes,
it's
it is.
A nightmare, yeah. But we got together and said let's have each other's backs, and let's put together a show that kind of talks about the ins and outs of creating comic books. Sometimes we talk about just pop culture and how that influences our books. Sometimes we do brainstorm sessions and put together stories. Right now we're working on a story that uses like 80s toys, the plushy toys like Care Bears and Smurfs and stuff like that in like a apocalyptic New York Manhattan story using those splushies like you might remember these guys like the Get Along Gang and the shirt tables
yeah.
and all. So we're using all those animal type toys that were so big in the 80s and putting them into a post-apocalyptic Manhattan New York City and having them fight each other. So
that's hilarious.
That's
awesome.
We've been working on for the last couple episodes, and it's really super fun. And we have a whole, like, I think like at least 10 episodes where we backlog there on YouTube, and you can find the Cosmos a Comic Collective.
Cosmos and what?
A Comic Collective.
And comic.
We like that alliteration.
I love it. I will put it in the show notes.
Awesome.
I'll go watch it. And your website and all that. So where did correct hand comics come from, or the name?
So I'm left-handed.
Okay.
And
I was wondering if going to be something with that.
Yeah. So growing up, I would, as a left-handed person, you would constantly be put things into your pencil in your right hand. But there are so many left-handed people who are right-handed because the teachers wouldn't let them use their left hand. Nope, you're using the wrong hand. Nope, I'm using the correct hand. This is my correct hand. So when I was 20-ish or so, I worked as a waiter and a bartender. And every single shift, somebody would go, I'd be writing down, the order. And they would say, oh, he's a lefty. Watch out for this guy. He's a lefty. Watch out for this guy. And I just started making the joke. I'm not left-handed. I'm correct-handed. You're right-handed. I'm correct-handed. And it just became a thing that I would say. And it's so funny because some people would just laugh and laugh it off. Oh, that's funny. That's a cute thing to say. Some people get kind of angry with me about it. Like, what are you talking about correct-handed? That doesn't make any sense. You're left-handed, not correct-handed. Great. Whatever you want. Whatever you want, righty. Fine. Whatever you want.
Wow. There's whole stores for left-handed people now.
Yeah. And I don't think right-handed people understand kind of the struggle because everything's made for right-handed people. So like even down to like steak knives. And I had a buddy a couple of years back. We were talking about this. And he goes, what are you talking about? A steak knife's a steak knife. I'm like, go get a knife. And he's like, okay. He's like, act like you're cutting something. He's like, great, no problem. I'm like, okay, give it to me. And I'll act like I'm cutting something. It doesn't work the same, does it? It's the thing is backwards. It's not going to do the thing. So most left-handed people have to use the right-handed way to be able to cut their meat and then switch their fork back over to their left hand to be able to eat. I've done it my whole life. So he saw that and he's like, well, that's really weird. That's how is that a thing? And I'm like, welcome to the left-handed world. So when I started coming up with names for my company, I had a whole bunch of other different names. And that joke popped up somewhere on the line. And I said, correct-handed comics. That sounds pretty good. And it's got a perfect visual, the left hand there. And it just worked out. So it was something that for 30 years I'd made that joke that just kind of worked out. And it's serendipitous.
That's awesome. I've got some more fun questions, but before that, is there anything that I didn't ask that you want to talk about or we need to talk about? The last thing I want is somebody to walk away and be like, oh, we should have talked about this.
No, I just enjoy conversations about comic books. And I would just say, awesome. You're putting in the show notes, and we've said it a couple of times, correcthandedcomics.com.
Correcthandedcomics.com.
Yeah.
Don't get left out. I like that. Nice tagline. Yeah, I'll definitely put link to some socials. You sent me all that, your website and stuff, and the Calendly link. So I'll put all that in the show notes and stuff.
Before you answer, my daughter makes fun of me all the time because I'll be doing TikTok or whatever. And I'll say, hey, everybody, it's David from Correct Handed Comics, correcthandedcomics.com. Don't get left out. I start each of my things like that. So she'll walk up to me one day or dinner time. We'll just be talking. And she'll go, hey, everybody, it's David from Correct Handed Comics, correcthandedcomics.com. Don't get left out. And I start laughing like, oh, okay. No, it's doing its job. She's got it.
Hey, she's got it down, right?
Yeah.
See, my kids, I used to own we started with a little small publishing company publishing books. And then I turned that into like a hobby shop game store and kind of did both. And I did that for about 8 years and ended up selling the store because my oldest got into golf and, ended up spending more time on the golf course than I did in my store. My wife hated running the store, so sold the store, had a good opportunity to sell it, and spent time with my kid. But she even the other day, she was like talking about going back to school, and she wants to go to marketing. She's like, oh, I've done that with my dad for, my whole life. Yeah. So, because she used to help me in the store all the time. And, and then my little one, helps me with the podcast. We do our weekly show and stuff every week, and she now wants to make reels. This weekend, she made a couple of reels herself. I was like, man, this is awesome. I'm getting help now.
That's awesome. That's
great. It's awesome. That's right. This is all for her. She can take it over in, 10 years or something. But, well, cool. Well, I have some fun questions for you. So who was the first favorite superhero?
I would say the stock answer is Superman. Superman's always, the superhero that most people go to, and I love Superman. But I would say my favorite superhero of all time is Ted Kord, Blue Beetle.
Blue Beetle. All right.
Yeah,
And he's
he's the
actually
guy.
getting some love now.
Yeah. He was the guy that, everybody's like, oh, Batman, Batman's the coolest Batman. I could be Batman. No, you can't be Batman. You can't be Batman. But you could be Blue Beetle.
Right?
That's sealed.
That's
That's
pretty
a
cool.
doable situation.
Very cool.
And he has more fun. So.
Do you remember the first comic you ever read?
So I would bet that it was an Archie comic. My brother and
Okay.
I would ride our bikes. Let's see, I was probably 7 and he was 9. We would ride our bikes way too far away from our house across town. And there was this coin shop that it was always super spooky walking in. You walk in the door and there was the big bar, the big like cage that you had to be
Yeah.
bulged into. Super creepy. But and although the old he had to be in, I thought he was 90 when we went in there, but then 20 years later found out that he was still I still looked exactly the same. But he's a really nice guy. But we'd walk in and my brother would go to the baseball cards, and he always had a stack of the owner had a stack of Archie comics and Key comics like Disney comics, Mighty Mouse, things like that, for 5 cents. So being the cheapskate I was, I said, 5 cents, yeah, I can buy 50 cents worth of these. And I'd go through
Right.
them and run through the ones I wanted to do, and I'd buy them. And my brother and I would go across the street. Around the corner was this little mulch shop place that had cheeseburgers and fries and mulch shops. And he'd look at his baseball cards, and I'd read my comic books, and we'd sit there and eat French fries and malts. And it was super fun. So I'd say the first comic I probably read was an Archie comic.
That's amazing. I miss those days when
Heck
we could
yeah.
do those things. That's an awesome story. Do you have any your favorite current series? Do you read anything current?
To be honest with you, wrapped into making my own stuff, I don't read a lot of current comic books.
I don't know when you'd have time to.
Yeah, it's tough. I did just go. I was in Syracuse 2 days ago, whenever, and I did pick up a couple books from the comic book shops there. But they were, funny enough, they were back issues
Right.
that I picked up. So I do try to pick up trades from time to time. I found, unfortunately, as an old man, it's really hard to keep up with the new stories and to with the new 52 and the All In and the absolutely with DC stuff and even the Marvel stuff. It's really hard to keep up. So I kind of wait for trades. And then I'll be really selective of what trades I get because I want to make sure that I've got a full story.
Right.
So it's been pretty tricky to be able to read any real current runs. But I think the stuff they're doing now is super fun. The one thing that's constant in life is change. So
Right.
people are getting mad about changing this and changing that. You need new viewers, and to do that, you need to try new things. And even if it doesn't work, try new things. So I like that they're mixing up the characters and changing them a little bit here and there to be able to maybe hopefully connect with a new generation. And I hope it works because I don't want comics to go anywhere.
100%. I mean, I struggle keeping up, with doing 2-3 episodes a week, my day job, and trying to like read comics. We buy them every week, and I'm trying to read. I have a goal of at least reading one a day, which I'm going to surpass that goal this year, which is awesome. But it's still it. I probably should up it to two a
Yeah.
day so I can keep up with all these books. I'm probably 50 books behind right now
Oh, geez.
on reading, if
Yeah.
not more. But I'm trying to catch up. We'll see. But yeah, there's a lot of good stuff. I mean, the Absolute stuff is amazing. And then all this indie stuff has been even cooler. Even like the Image and the Boom, that indie, but then all the true indie stuff, like your stuff and my stuff and all these people I get to interview, they send me their stuff to read. And so it's really more than one a day because those don't count because I can't track them on League of Comic Geeks. But
Yeah.
I enjoy reading all their books too, so that's really awesome.
There's a lot of great stuff out there, and it's just a matter of going out there. Unfortunately, sometimes you got to look for it, but with hopes with social media is that sometimes you'll stumble along some really fun stuff.
Exactly. If you could live in any comic book universe, what would it be?
Oh, no.
Yeah, these are the hard-hitting questions.
Yeah. I would say pre-crisis Superboy Smallville.
Okay.
That's what I would say.
Pre-crisis. There you go.
Yeah. Keeping it simple.
There you go.
Yeah.
I like it. If you could have a superpower, what would you choose?
Shape-shifting.
Right? That would be cool.
Turn myself into anything. If I want to fly,
like
I turn
Mystique?
Myself into a bird. If I want to swim in the ocean, I turn myself into a fish.
I love that. Shape-shifting's perfect. All right. Which comic book character, and it could be any character, it doesn't have to be a sidekick, but what would you want as your sidekick?
Oh. What comic book character do I want as my sidekick?
You can choose your own if you want.
Yeah. I'm going to say I would want... I had an answer, but I'm not going to say that answer out loud. I'm going to say I would want, somebody like super smart that could, you know, like save me when I get in trouble. Super strong. I'm going to go with Wonder Woman.
There you go.
Because she's going to do all the heavy lifting. I just have to stand there and look pretty.
And you can just shapeshift into something that's, you know, safe and
perfect.
Walk away.
I think you just changed my answer to the Wonder Twins, though. so that they could do the whole thing, and I could just be like, hey, yeah, I'll be a bird too. Sure.
Right.
Let's do that.
That's the last one. If your life were a comic book, what would the title be?
Oh, man. Come Hell or High Water.
That makes sense when you do 60 plus comics.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I still can't believe you have written that much in 7 years. That's insane. I want to write one, which I am. I did. I wrote one. So I want to write more, but mine, I love how you're doing a series of one shots. I think that's cool because that's what I want to do. I don't want to get involved in a 50 issue continuing story. I just want to do fun stories. One at a time, I guess.
Yeah, it makes it so much easier too because you can switch genres, switching characters, and you can really, if you do four or five of them, you can put them out there and see what sticks to the wall. So, if one becomes big, it can turn into a 4-issue miniseries.
Very true. I can continue that story.
Yeah.
So all of mine's based off our mascot, like Panel Pete is the mascot. He's like a comic word bubble, right? So this is just a one shot of him, and he's, lives in a comic book. But the coolest part about it is I can put him in any era of time, any, situation, any, anything. So I've already got the idea for the next one, which will be like the origin story, which will be like a medieval book. So I'm going to have fun with that one. Well, cool. Well, I really enjoy you being here. This has been a lot of fun. I'll get this out in probably next week sometime, is my guess.
Thank you, AJ. And, appreciate you having me on. Great question. Yeah. Great conversation. Thank you so much.
Well, I appreciate that. Thanks so much for being here. And if you get a Kickstarter going or whatever, let me know. We'll have you back on. We'll help you advertise that. And we'll go from there.
That sounds great. Thank you again.
In a world of heroes, villains, and epic stories,
Braha, Anakin, and their ultimate sidekick, Panel Pete, take you on adventures each week.
Showing off their comic book hauls,
fun trivia and games, honest reviews,
and inspiring conversations with the creators and consumers who make it all possible.
Join in on the conversation.
This is Talking Comics.
Trying to start a podcast but feeling stuck? At Aquatio, we help creators make waves with everything you need to bring your voice to life. Hosting, recording, editing, and marketing. Whether you're starting from scratch or just need a little help polishing your sound, we're here to hydropower your creativity. Comment on this video or DM us today and let's dive in.